Good Sunday morning. This is Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. I'm Kate Doherty with co-host Keely Rager. And believe it or not, this Sunday morning we have lassoed in Pastor Harold Long, who I think he is wondering why he even agreed to this. But welcome, Pastor Long.
Glad to be here.
It will be a wild ride, but it will be fun to see where this goes, because we've got a lot of cool topics we want to touch on this Sunday morning.
Yeah, so one of the things that Pastor Long, and by the way, he's the pastor of the United Methodist Church in Taylor, Durham, and LaGrange. Wanted to make sure in case you need to track him down after this. But one of his passions is prison ministry. And for those of our listeners of the show, you know, one of the things that Keely and I are passionate about is education and adult living and community. And I think one of the things that people often miss are the interconnections here, because if we don't reach out to our fellow human beings of all abilities, very often, unfortunately, Pastor Long's going to see them later on in his passion on prison ministry. And Pastor Long, why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, prison ministry is a huge need throughout the world, not just in the United States. I mean, it's a huge need. You look at the statistics I gave you just for Illinois and Missouri, and these are 2016 statistics, but you have roughly 33,000 offenders in Missouri prisons, and you got roughly 45,000 in Illinois. And then you can figure out what it costs to put somebody there on an annual basis and do the math. And
by the time they actually get there, it's not normally their first run-in.
It's exponentially a lot of money is what it mm-hmm. works out to be. And they're there for a variety of reasons. And do they all need to go there? Well, that's a big debate to have. Do they all need to be in prison, or do they not all need to be in prison? It's just an easy place to get them off the streets and not have to deal with them. We'll send them to prison. But all of our prisons are overrun and challenge with staffing. There isn't a prison in Missouri, I know for sure, that there's not hiring right now. They're looking for people because of the turnover rate. It's just horrific in those places. So, yeah, so going in those places and dealing with those people. But, I mean, the key thing you got to think about, and then the same thing holds true for women as it does for men, and that is on the basis of who is the offender. Well, you know, what is the makeup of the offender? What's their characteristics? And you could take me in any prison. I don't care if it would be in Illinois, if it would be in Missouri, it could be anywhere in the U.S. It doesn't matter where it's at. You could go into a male institution, pick out 3 offenders. I mean, you could pick out 100 offenders. I don't care what the race is, how old they are, where they grew up, how tall they are, how short they are, what crimes they committed. It doesn't matter. You could bring them all into the room, and I could tell you 3 things about every one of them, and I would be almost 100%. Not exactly 100%, but I'd be well over 90. And those things are really 3 things. One, their relationship with their earthly father is compromised in a big way. So, I mean, there's big cavities in it. There's big periods of absenteeism in it. There's abuse in it, physical, sexual, verbal, combination of all. Or it's just deadbeat dad, but it's fractured somehow, some way, and usually in a big, big way. So that's almost 100% across the board. Not 100%, but it's right there. Secondly, their educational skills, being able to read, being able to write, being able to comprehend even what they are reading and writing, is well below par. Yeah, you have some college graduates in prison. Yeah, you have some high school or some prison. Yeah, they offer some college courses in prisons. And there used to be at one time pretty much a mandate that you had to have at least a GED before you left prison. But those aren't always the case anymore. But at the end of the day, if you brought in those 100 people and you handed out things to read, the bulk of them would have be really challenged to even read those things, much less comprehend what they're even reading on top of it. And lastly, the relationship with God or higher power, whatever you choose, whatever floats your boat, in the spiritual realm is twisted at best. So that's the 3 common denominators that break down any human being, but they're all fractured in this way, and there they sit. And the prison system is really not built to address those on any real terms. So it's the old saying, you keep doing what you're doing, you keep getting what you're getting. So if you don't do something about it, these people come out. The recidivism rate in the states is well over 60%. Some states as high as 75%. They're going to just find their way right back because they just keep doing what they're doing and they keep getting what they're getting. So those are the challenges. So that's where prison ministry comes in. There's a wider range of ways to minister. It's not just about preaching the gospel, but it's going in and doing a lot of things.
Well, and for me, one of the common themes that I guess for me, how like some of this also ties in is, you know what, if you're scared of going in the prisons, you know, like I get it. It's kind of like if you're scared of being a foster care, if you're scared of doing CASA, if you're scared of those things, you know what? Everybody needs to start a little bit of somewhere. Like last week we had Nancy Gianni on and she talked about being a little bit better today than you were yesterday. Well, you know, if you're scared of doing those things, you know what? You can go into a school and you can be part of a mentor program. You can go into a school and be part of an after-school tutoring program. And if you're reaching out to some of the kiddos before they actually get to the point where you're going to have to actually meet them up in prison, you can do a little bit of something right now today to help maybe possibly prevent that. You can be somebody, someone special, but you got to reach out a little bit. So I understand sometimes people say, oh man, Pastor Long, I don't know what you're talking about there. That's a little scary for me. All right, you can't do that. Oh, that foster care thing, that's a little too much of a big dip for me right now. Okay, I can't do that. All right, I get that. You know, I don't want to do CASA. Okay, all right. Like, but everybody has a place and everybody has a way they can help. And for some of you, if you're out there listening today, I'd encourage you to reach out to some of the local schools and kids and be part of their mentoring or their tutoring programs, because every little bit we do does help make a difference.
Well, and I think it's really about trying to break that cycle, because if you looked at the individuals you see in prison, you know, you're talking about an absentee dad or an absentee mom, abuse, those sorts of things. That's something that becomes very cyclical even when they get out, if they don't get the help that they need. One thing that I used to work with individuals with traumatic brain injury, and, you know, sometimes people are missing those things. We're not even realizing that someone may have had some sort of a disability that was causing them to do the things they did. Survival 101, and it just spirals out of control. And so we as human beings need to step out and be comfortable with being uncomfortable. And being uncomfortable may mean you're going into those prisons. Being uncomfortable may mean you're stepping in to help that child. I stepped into many situations where I was going into prisons and meeting with my consumers. And you know, it can be uncomfortable, but I am mm-hmm. telling you the reward is 100-fold. At least. Would you agree, Pastor?
I would agree. I mean, God's got to do something with you on the inside before he can do anything through you on
Absolutely.
The outside. And so, you know, that's the context you really got to go into prison with, is that I'm going there. It's not about me. I'm
right.
going there to be a maximum service to the people inside there. So the system's designed to protect you. And the most part is there always a chance of something happening. Yeah, but I've been going to prisons for 25 years now. I've never seen anything happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm in maximum security penitentiaries for the most part. So, so can they happen? Yes. But most of the people that are going to come to groups and programs and tutoring programs and mentor programs, et cetera, if you want to call it the cream of the crop, it's going to be the cream of the crop. These are people that really want to do something. They just don't know how to do something.
Mm,
and they're discouraged. And that's what you have to understand about broken people that have been, especially if they're repeat offenders, you know, they're so discouraged. There's a great old fable about the devil had a yard sale one day, and he had all the seven deadly sins out on the table. He had them priced just right. It was going to be a great day. You know, I mean, he was ready to bargain. And a patron came by, and he seen everything he had on the table. And he seen greed and lust and anger and sloth and gluttony and pride. Everything was laid out there. It was priced with a price tag. But there was something on the back table, and the patron says, well, Satan, what's that back there? And he goes, well, don't worry about it. It's not for sale, but all this other stuff's for sale. I'll make you a hell of a deal on this stuff. And he goes, yeah, I'm really not interested in any of these things, but I am curious to what that is. And he was just kept prodding. And finally, Satan says, well, I'll tell you what it is if you just shut up and leave me alone. And he goes, what is it? He goes, well, it's discouragement. And he goes, discouragement? He goes, yeah. He goes, why is it that for sale? And he goes, man, I win more souls over with that than all this other crap put together. It's not for sale.
Absolutely.
And so that's what you have inside. You have a lot of discouraged hearts. And when you're discouraged, you're already you're at a place where you quit. It's like being in a game. It's like playing on an online game that you just have no chance of winning, you know, mm-hmm. and you're just discouraged to even finish it because you don't feel like you can ever win. Or you're sitting on a baseball team as a kid and you're not the best athlete, you don't feel like you're ever going to get to play, and you're just ready to go home because you're just discouraged. And it's that discouragement that gets in the hearts. And these people, then it's delusional, but they're under the delusion that this is the best that my life's ever going to be, so why even try? I give up.
Mm.
So.
Oh, my gosh. Well, and with that, we'll be right back. I don't want you to give up. I don't want anybody to give up, and I don't want us to give up on them. So, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. We'll be right back.
Branching Out LLC, a premier lawn and landscaping service that can meet all your residential and commercial needs. Regardless of the season, Branching Out offers a service for maintenance-free outside living. Branching Out takes the time to listen to your needs and ensure it's done correctly the first time. If you're not satisfied, Branching Out is not satisfied. To contact Branching Out, call 573-501-0760 or visit them at www.branchingoutllc.com.
I learn, I speak, I care. Hashtag every child. Down country, because every child is a gift. Every child can learn, and every child learns differently. Up at downcountry.com. Up at downcountry.com or call 217-617-3568, 217-617-3568, or visit Downcountry on Facebook or Twitter. Hashtag every child.
Don't you think it's time for a financial advisor who takes time to explain things? Brad Kurz, your local Edward Jones financial advisor, does. Investing can seem complicated. That's why he takes time to listen, understands your needs, and explains without jargon. Experience the Edward Jones difference. Contact Brad today, 573-221-1302. That's 221-1302. Making time to take time. That's how Edward Jones makes sense of investing. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. I'm Kate Doherty with Keely Rager, and we've got the passion.
We brought the passion
pastor,
today.
Yeah, we did bring the passion today, the passion for prison ministry with Pastor Harold Long, and we're talking about the connections, the interconnections, the ramifications on our community. And basically, if you're listening today and you feel any calling whatsoever to volunteer in the prison ministry, we would certainly invite you to go to www.mountolivetcharge.org, and you can reach Pastor Long directly through the website. Because one of the things he wants to touch on is, you know, why you volunteer in prison, duty, need, passion. And you became passionate about this. Why, Pastor Long?
Well, I mean, I think anytime you're going to go out into the world and you want to, and you're trying to figure out where does God want to use my gifts, talents, and treasures, how does he want to do that? The first thing I challenge people to do is just to ask yourself, what does your heart break for? What does your heart break for? And it's that should start your thinking, your wondering. I like to wonder a lot. I wonder, you know, where God could use me in this. I grew up. Everything we talked about earlier, I grew up that way. I grew up without a dad in my life. I grew up on the streets. I grew up with a mom who was a great mom, but she was gone. As an educator, worked 3-4 jobs. We lived in beat up old houses. I remember sharing a bathroom with the lady next door till I was 7 years old. Grew up on the streets, found drugs, found sex, found alcohol, found cigarettes, found all the stuff, which led me to the streets, which led me to boys' homes and juvenile penitentiaries, and through a whole course of actions through the Department of Corrections until I was 21. In trouble again, in a jail cell for the umpteenth time, on my way back to the penitentiary again, and that's when I asked Christ to come into my life, and I've never looked back from that day till now. I mean, my life changed, and it forever changed. It didn't happen one big cataclysmic explosion, but it started, and as I started in my journey in life, and I was full of all these things you're talking about, I was discouraged. My life really wasn't taking off. I didn't even have any education. I didn't even have a GED. I didn't have a car. I didn't have a license. I had a criminal record. I had everything against me. I was defeated in every way you could be defeated. But through mentorship, somebody stepped into my life and took the void of that male role model in my life, a mentor stepped in my life and really got me to take actions that I didn't believe in. But he gave me encouragement. He gave me the push to take those actions. And part of those actions was if he told me right off the bat, if you want to have a storybook life, if you want to have the greatest life that you can have, you need to do two things for the rest of your life. One is you need to mentor those coming behind you. You got to pay it forward. Mm-hmm. So you need to continue to mentor. And you need to go somewhere once a week where you don't want to end up.
Ooh.
And I don't care where that is, but you need to do that. So for me, that started in the Skid Row missions for the Salvation Army back in 1990.
God bless the Salvation Army.
And I did that for 3 years. Every Thursday night, every Saturday morning, I went to the Salvation Army. But ultimately, a guy called me in 1993 and said, hey, would you be willing to go down and speak at this penitentiary? I started laughing. And he said, what's so funny? I said, do you know who you're talking to? He goes, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I said, well, they're not going to let me come in that deal. And I said, the last time I came out of a place like that, I did 25 push-ups outside the gate as part of a wager I lost to not go back again, you know. Mm-hmm. And so he goes, well, I think you've been off paper long enough to let you come in. I said, even if they would let me come back in, I'm pretty sure that I'm not really interested in doing that. He goes, well, why don't you run that by your mentor and call me back? Well, you know how that went. You know, and so that started my journey. I went there, and the rest is history. I mean, it brought me into the system, and I've been there ever since.
Aren't we blessed to have a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances?
Amen.
And
yeah.
I just think that your story for me is such a good testimony that we all get another chance. We just have to ask for it, receive it, and start down that right path. And there are lots of people who want to help people do that and give you a hand up. Maybe not a handout, but a hand up, because it is a lot of work. You do have to put in the work, but God's going to see you through it. So I love that. I love that.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, I'm going to have a sign made above my desk that says, what does your heart break for?
I wrote that down. I'm like, I love that.
And only because I think it's a very... When I taught, as I taught high school, so I saw, I had some lovely young punks like you, you know, that were, and my heart, like, I loved them so much, and I was so scared for them, because I knew that only through the grace of God, what might the future may, you know what I mean? I always felt like we were the last chance, like we were the last, before they went off in the world, it was a make it or break it time. And so when I think about this, you know, and I'm looking and thinking about some of the statistics you've sent, you know, obviously we've got to do everything in our power to reach these kids while they're still in school. We've got to have mentor programs. We've got to have tutor programs. But, you know, when we look at this, you know, what are some of the solutions to lower some of these prison rates? Because we are overcrowded. We are overwhelmed. I mean, from just a community standpoint, you know, what are some ideas based on what you've seen over the last... 25 years.
Well, I think what we kind of set the stage for it is, if you keep doing what you're doing, you keep getting what you're getting. We live in a society, in our constitution, our country was built really on this framework that if you do something wrong, we're going to punish you. Mm-hmm. And that's just the automatic resolve. If you do something wrong, you get punished for it. It's not spiritual in nature, but it's definitely how we act as human beings. And instead of punishing people, we need to teach people. We need to help people, you know, in a big way. If you look at what Christ did for us and what God did for us, God, you know, the cross is for the guilty. You know, Jesus died for the guilty. Guess what? You're guilty. You know, I'm guilty. Everybody's guilty. So God, and he didn't do it because we deserved it. He didn't give us, you know, Jesus because we deserved it. He gave us Jesus because we needed it. And so when we go into people's life and we don't go into prisons and give up our time, our treasures, our talents to go in and do all these things because all these people deserve it. We go in there because they need it. And it's because it's the same compassion that's been given to us. And it's the only chance that God, we can punish people to death. Punishing people doesn't do anything. It doesn't change who they are. You have to get involved. Even my kids as growing up, that you know, the sin, the rule breaking, whatever the offense is, the consequences are in that itself. You know, if I break the law, I'm going to pay a price. It isn't God punishing me. You know, if I don't do what my mom tells me and I'm grounded for the weekend, it's not I have a punishing mom. I said, no, I broke the rule and I'm paying the price for that. But as a parent, we step in, we try to teach them from that. What did you learn from that? What can we do better next time? And it's the same thing with offenders, male, female, doesn't matter. How do we step into their life and help teach them how to live a better life? If they don't have any more skills, if they keep doing what they're doing, they keep getting what they're getting. So if we don't teach them how to live a better life, we don't teach them how to be successful in society, how to live life on life's terms, how to live in the tough world that it is out there, then it's self-defeating. They're already coming back before they ever left. I mean, there's not a person in the world, and especially offenders, whether male or female, doesn't matter, that's sitting in a prison cell right now with great intentions never to come back. When I come out of here, I'm going to be a better dad. I'm going to be a better son. I'm going to be a better brother. I'm going to be a better mother. I'm going to be a better sister. I'm going to be a better parent. I'm going to be a better spouse, you know, whatever. And they're sincere and they're as 100% authentic as they can be. But the problem is they do what every other human being in the world does. We judge ourselves by our intentions and we judge everybody else by their actions. And that's what they fail to learn how to do, is how to take ownership for their life, how to, and then build from that. They pass the game. It's a vicious cycle. Mm-hmm. But that's where they're stuck in.
Well, and I think the piece is it's also very often the harmful relationships that they go right back into. You had a gentleman come to church and speak, and I appreciated what he said because he talked about having to say goodbye to friends and family that were unhealthy for him. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't know that people truly always understand when we talk about changing your ways, that very often can mean changing your entire network of
your whole
people.
Circle of family or friends and support, because sometimes you do have to disconnect.
Yeah. You're talking about breaking a cycle. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back as we talk about this. And I hope that maybe as you're listening today, you're feeling called, whether it's to go possibly in prison ministry, you can contact www.MountOlivetCharge.org and reach out to Pastor Long, or whether it's something as simple as mentoring a kiddo or tutoring a kid before they have an opportunity. Prevention is always an ounce of prevention, my grandma used to say. It's worth a pound of cure. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this is Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. We'll be right back.
Branching Out LLC, a premier lawn and landscaping service that can meet all your residential and commercial needs. Regardless of the season, Branching Out offers a service for maintenance-free outside living. Branching Out takes the time to listen to your needs and ensure it's done correctly the first time. If you're not satisfied, Branching Out is not satisfied. To contact Branching Out, call 573-501-0760 or visit them at www.branchingoutllc.com.
I learn, I speak, I care. Hashtag every child. Down country, because every child is a gift. Every child can learn, and every child learns differently. Up at downcountry.com. Up at downcountry.com or call 217-617-3568, 217-617-3568, or visit Downcountry on Facebook or Twitter. Hashtag every child.
Don't you think it's time for a financial advisor who takes time to explain things? Brad Kurz, your local Edward Jones financial advisor, does. Investing can seem complicated. That's why he takes time to listen, understands your needs, and explains without jargon. Experience the Edward Jones difference. Contact Brad today, 573-221-1302. That's 221-1302. Making time to take time. That's how Edward Jones makes sense of investing. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. We're going pretty deep with Pastor Harold Long on prison ministry this morning. While we were on break, I asked a $24 million question, one about drugs, and we went there for a little bit, and Pastor Long gave some stats on that. But then they also talked about wanting to bridge the gap, and I'm going to let Pastor Long and Keeley kind of go from there. Ladies, gentlemen,
well,
let it roll.
I think the question that I asked you was, what's the amount of time we have as someone who's going to reach out to someone who is being discharged or allowed to leave the prison system?
Yeah, and I'm going to say it's 48 hours. If he can't make a healthy contact and put them on doing what they're supposed to be doing and taking the right actions within 48 hours, they're probably already on their way back before they walk out the door. I mean, and that's – so it's that gap is a huge need in society. And the systems are starting to try to develop different levels of volunteerism where you come in as strictly as that role. You're not a volunteer that's bringing in church or programs or reading programs or lifestyle programs, or you're not mentoring those type of things or leading GED classes. You're strictly coming in probably the last 90 days of their sentence before they're released and building a relationship with them, where then you'll be allowed to connect with them when they walk out the door. And you can, you can bring them around. You can help them get a job. You can help them find a place to live. You can help them, get a bus pass and start putting their life together piece by piece by piece. And that's what they don't have. Most of them leave and they might get a bus pass home. They might leave with just the clothes on their back and that's it. Mm-hmm. They don't have nowhere else to go. I mean, they have nobody. If they go back to the family situation, which could be a lot of drugs, abuse, darkness, I mean, they're self-defeated before they ever leave. So there's programs, and there's one, and I'll give the website for it. It's www.O as in Oscar, B as in boy, O as in Oscar, D as in David, O as in Oscar, H as in Henry, U as in umbrella, B as in boy.com. It's a bodohub.com, and it's a fairly new organization, but what they do is that they're a central place where you can go there for all the resources wherever you're at from a community standpoint. So if you're coming into the Quincy area, you're coming into Missouri area, Hannibal area, for example, they will have contacts for you for employment, for places to live, for three-quarter houses, for housing. They already have all these places. Instead of you trying to bring all these resources, they're a one-stop shop for that resources. Their phone number is 314-334-3343, and a gentleman's name for that is Jason Cleveland, and that would be a great guest at some future date for you guys, is to have Jason come on and talk.
What were
more.
The last four digits?
3343.
3343. There were a lot of numbers there.
Right. A lot of threes.
A lot of threes. I was trying to get them right, because I definitely think that that is a resource that is needed.
Right. So if you're sitting there listening to this cast right now, and you have someone who's institutionalized that's going to be coming out, that would be a great place to start to look at resources for them before they ever walk out the door, to start putting a plan of action together for them, because they need all the help they can to take the next steps on their spiritual journey. I mean, they need every help that they can get to do that. And so that's where people can volunteer on the outside. You can be going in on the inside. There's so many places that you could step in and create, you know, bridges for these people to have success, because that's the biggest need they have. They need to bridge the gap. And if you look at the differences, I mean, if we start meeting their needs instead of just punishing them, you look at recidivism in the United States, it's in the 60th percentile. Some states as high as 75%. You look at countries like Norway, and they're at 20%.
Yeah. Hmm. Wow, that's a crazy statistic.
And if you look at some people will look at their system and say, well, that's like a luxury camp. That's like going to some high-dollar treatment center. Mm-hmm. But it's effective. Mm-hmm. You know, they got them there. They got them in smaller pods, and they're educating them. They're training them. They're helping them build the character and the resources they need to be successful.
A better life.
So yeah. You know, Norway also has one of the best educational systems. I'm just saying there. I mean, I realize
you're just right, Kate?
I understand that I keep going, you know, there's a direct correlation between education, between like these things intertwine actively.
Mm-hmm.
And it matters. It matters immensely. And I really think that sometimes people do think that they have to do things in a big manner. I've got to save the whole world, or I've got to, you know what, you just have to be a little bit better today and reach out in a little bit, just one little thing. Be a mentor, be a tutor, be a friend.
So if someone wanted to start a journey on possibly being some sort of a mentor and going into prison ministry, mm-hmm. What are your suggestions for that?
The first thing to do is talk to the chaplain.
Okay.
Call the chaplain of that prison. Tell them who you are, what you're looking at doing, what's on your heart. And they may have things that are already going that they could use help in. Or they may say, you may come up with a whole new idea and say, hey, I've been, you know, God's put on my heart to start this program. Or I got this program that's worked on the outside. I don't know if you have it going on in the inside, but I'd like to try it. Chaplain's probably going to embrace that, trying to create an environment and opportunity. Chaplains are always looking for help. A chaplain is your go-to person by far in that situation.
What? Oh, gosh, I can't believe I was getting ready to ask this question, and we have 57 seconds left in the show. Oh, I bet the burnout rate on prison chaplain is huge. That would be a very tough job, but I bet it would be a very rewarding job. Pastor Long, we're going to have you come back, and we're going to talk a little bit about that at a later date. Otherwise, guys, ladies and gentlemen, this is Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. Be a little better today than you were yesterday. Have a blessed Sunday.
Every day, don't you know I find, lose your dreams, lose your mind, got to carry on, life goes on.
I learn, I speak, I care. Hashtag every child. Down country, because every child is a gift. Every child can learn, and every child learns differently. Up at downcountry.com. Up at downcountry.com or call 217-617-3568, 217-617-3568, or visit Downcountry on Facebook or Twitter. Hashtag every child.